This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Would you mind if I looked in your eyes and I hypnotize and I lose my mind?
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 5 Night of the Fan. Wednesday, I think we're going to be at Hollywood at Night for our party with some of our sponsors. We're excited. It's really a great place to be. I love going out there and just looking at the building of that new ice rink facility where there's going to be 3 sheets indoor, 1 outdoor. It is going to be the best we've ever had in St. Louis. And then you go inside the Hollywood Casino, and they just do just great work. 99 Hops House is the place to be. Final Cut Steakhouse, one of the best steakhouses in St. Louis. We're so excited that they are with us, and they're our title sponsor. Westminster Christian Academy, also one of our great sponsors. 997-2900, 997-2900 is the phone number. The website is WCASTL.org. Take a look at that campus out in Town and Country. You will be overwhelmed. The sports are outstanding. The facilities are the best in town. Westminster Christian Academy.
All right, Hoffman's idea for a text topic today, 855-282-8255. What did you do on Sunday? Because we're going to be judge and jury here. Because the Blues admittedly didn't have enough effort. You know, a little bit of a half-ass approach.
Well, they're fragile.
They're fragile. They've admitted that. They're fragile. So you tell us what you did on Sunday, and we're going to determine whether you put out more effort than the Blues. Which, in hockey, it's always about effort. They always admit it, too. Oh, we didn't want it enough. We didn't come out and try hard enough. That's their admission. So you tell us what you did on Sunday.
Won't most of our listeners say that they watch their teams in fantasy football
and sat around
on their phones?
And watch football. Yeah, so then we're going to have to there's probably a few people out there that either worked or did a project around the house, even though outside... not likely as cold as it was.
I cleaned and vacuumed.
I think I put in more effort than the Blues. 1-0-0.
Mopped and vacuumed the floor. Yeah.
I'll give you a win for
I'm
that.
I'm ahead.
855-282-8255 shortly, too. We're also going to get an update from Chuck about the fight, how it played out.
Live from the rink.
We're going to go live. When you think hockey insider,
yeah,
you think Charlie Marlowe. Who, by the way, I didn't hear the end of TMA, but didn't he say he got... in a little bit of trouble from Jess because all he did was lay around and watch football. So he had a worse day than the Blues in terms of effort.
I think what I heard was they were trying to hang a mirror. And I guess it was during the first slate of games and Chuck was focused. You know, Chuck sometimes puts wagers on games and he's a big fan of fantasy football. He likes to focus on that. And I think he just got a little frustrated and said, can we just wait till halftime?
I'm not even married.
Wait till halftime.
But even in a relationship that I've been in for 2 years, you pick your battles. And I think taking 5 minutes to hang a mirror to avoid a fantasy football spat, I think you just take one for the team, bring your phone with you, and just check your fantasy there.
Well, believe me, every time out yesterday, I was checking the score during the Billiken game of my fantasy score.
Or, and I know you guys are going to say that I'm an elitist, or if you have the TV that you can... No, if you have a TV that you can pause the action, do you have that, Hoffman?
Yeah, but I don't like to do that.
Okay. Plowsy, do you have that?
I don't even have cable.
You
Frank.
Let me guess. You have an ensuite in a hallway bathroom.
No.
Let me guess.
I tell you, what an arrogant display of wealth. Yeah,
God, just showing off.
Wouldn't you just
humble brag?
If you're sitting,
it's not even humble.
If you're sitting in front of the TV, and there's a duty to be done around the house, wouldn't you just pause the game?
Although you're going to say hire someone to hang the mirror
no,
for you.
No, you just
have your butler do it.
If he's saying, honey, just wait. Just pause the game.
Yeah, that's the way.
Isn't that the answer right there?
Absolutely.
Chuck, you half-ass. We'll join him in a little bit here.
What was he talking about? Some game that seemed so obscure that he was so interested. Oh, the over and under from the Thursday night horrendous affair on Fox 2.
Oh, he's mad about Jacksonville's touchdown.
Yeah. Well, that's when you know you're a little too much into it.
No.
Well, he bets on women's basketball.
Yes, a couple of years ago he said, dude, when those, the Connecticut team, what are they, the Raging
Sun? Huskies.
No, the WNBA team.
Oh, I have no idea.
He said, they play at a casino. He goes, if you look at some of their scores, I'm like, no, I'm not. I am not looking. He was wagering on the WNBA. You're a step away from being Arch Schlesinger.
My favorite is when Chuck says, like, you know, sometimes you're bored at work and you just put some money on a game. And you're saying that in front of you.
Yes.
Yeah, he just says it increases the enjoyment opportunities of watching a game like no other. So.
As opposed to, you know, putting up the stockings with your daughter and your wife. Hey, honey, it added a little excitement here. We squeezed the Raider game. I need a little bit of an underaction over here on the Titans. And like, okay, you might in
he's
fact
a character.
Have a
he's almost like a movie figure that we could almost do something on him.
I told him he's Keith Hernandez. The one time I was in New York and saw him at a bar, and he had money on every game going, NFL Sunday.
Wow.
And then the blonde gal came in to sit down with him, and we could overhear. We were eavesdropping. And he said to her, okay, that team, that game, you see that screen? We need the ones in blue to score. The over here, see the ones in the yellow? We don't want them to score. He was going through every monitor.
Wow.
I think it was Runyon's was the name of the sports
bar.
Yeah,
famous bar.
And he was pointing. We were there for the NLCS, and we went to watch the Rams on TV.
That's where Bob Costas taped Costas coast to coast at Runyon's every year for a decade. Do you know who his producer was? Who's the really good reporter on Real Sports? Dark-haired guy, kind of tall.
Brian Gumbel?
No, he's their best reporter.
Oh, I
white guy, about 45 years old, John.
Not, I know who you're talking about. I know exactly who you are, but I can't think of his name.
He was their producer.
For Coast to Coast?
For Coast to Coast for years, and now all of a sudden he's, well, not all of a sudden, but.
Awful, look that up.
Yeah. While you look that
by
up.
By the way, is Bob going to be with us Friday? Is that the plan? Or
hopefully, yes.
We're going to be at the 123 Club on Friday, and we're going to be at Schnucks.
Thirst.
John Frankel?
John Frankel, yes. That was his crack producer.
Snooks Gravoid Bluffs in Fenton, right off 141, I believe.
Yep.
On
Thursday.
McBride Homes, Missouri's largest home builder, has a great deal for you this holiday season. Buy a new McBride home. Receive $5,000 to $10,000 off the base price. That's right. Instantly get up to $10,000 savings towards your new home. And McBride has nearly 100 market homes ready for a quick move-in. Nearly 40 communities across the metro St. Louis area. There's a McBride home for every price point in every part of town, so there's no reason to wait. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details. I got a little business to attend to.
And my only question for Frank was, did you gain weight this weekend? Because I heard you give me the full account. I gained weight listening to you.
Yeah.
You were at Spiro's Friday, at Frank Papa's Saturday, and Fleming's on Sunday.
Yeah. Not really, no.
I mean, the food critic in the paper.
Well, he fasted on Monday or Tuesday. He fasted one day last week.
That's right.
Yeah, made up for it all. All right, Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin going until 12. Midday grind coming your way in the 12 o'clock hour. Chuck Marlowe is on TMA duty for the next couple of days, so he'll be out from the coveted hour, but he will check in momentarily from the rink. A little fight out there. Robert Bertuzzo, Zach Sanford getting into it. Blues are home the rest of the week. This is part of a four-game homestand. We'll call it the Pronger Cup. Tuesday night, the former Blues player is now the assistant GM for the Panthers. Blues host the Panthers on Tuesday. Guaranteed win on Friday. Doesn't matter who they're playing. They're playing Colorado Friday. But you know the deal by now. They've won five straight on. This is a team that only has 10 wins. They've won five straight on Friday nights. Blues and Avalanche this week, and then Sunday, next Sunday, Calgary afternoon game. So that is your slate of Blues games for the next few days, coming off a disheartening loss, to say the least. And it seemed in the postgame, whether you heard comments from Alexander Steen or Braden Schenn, there seemed to be almost differing opinions about how you fix it. Craig Berube, who, from a media standpoint, he is what we call a terrible soundbite. He actually gave some lengthy answers yesterday. And I think Jim Thomas said, hey, early in the season. He said, no, not early in the season. So tension was mounting on Sunday, and it boiled over on Monday. Live to the rink, Chuck Marlowe in the role of Andy Stranklin with a rink report. Chuck, what happened?
Martin, how you doing, buddy? I'm actually walking outside of the rink here so as not to have all the stick and puck noise in the background.
Oh,
here.
We like still stick and puck. We like stick and puck.
It shows you how out of shape I am, too, as I walk away the arena here. I'm out of breath.
Are you really? This is alarming.
I think Dave Sharp of Fox 2 is the only guy that has video of this. We were just standing there talking. He's shooting practice. Blues were doing a drill. It was Robert Bertuzzo and Zach Sanford. They were kind of doing a battle drill in front of the net. I saw, you know, because you're kind of watching different parts of practice.
Sure.
And then you see something right in front of you. It looked like Bertuzzo kind of cross-checked Sanford. Sanford didn't like it. They dropped gloves, and they probably threw a couple punches and fought for maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds before Steve Ott and others broke it up here.
I hate when they break it up. Let them go. Although they are teammates, I guess. You don't want to see that. Did there seem to be a collective, like, all right, that's what I'm talking about? Or were people kind of pissed that it happened on the team?
It's a good question. You know, Robert Bertuzzo skated off and didn't come back for practice, and practice is just now wrapping up, so there's still some guys on the ice. I mean, there's only, you know, these practices at the Mills are open to the public, and there's sometimes dozens of people here. There's only about two or three fans here anyway watching. And again, I think we're the only ones that got it on video. But, you know, the players just kind of watched it. As I said, Ott broke it up. You could look up, and Doug Armstrong was in the stands. Tom Stillman, they're in the stands. I didn't get their immediate reaction, but honestly, everybody's frustrated. You get it. So you can understand why players, ownership, fans, coaches are frustrated. And clearly at practice today, a couple of these guys, Sanford and Bortuzzo, just kind of let it get to them, and it ended up in a little Donnybrook here for about 10, 15 seconds.
Legendary photographer Dave Sharp, who used to do the Sharper image on Sunday nights after a home Rams game, no doubt that he would get the good video there. Frank is pissed about it. He said, "You guys aren't going to show that, are you?" And I said, "Oh, lead story tonight, Chuck Marlow at the rink."
Martin, you'll love this. And we just, you know, we tweeted it out. And basically, for people to kind of take you behind the curtain of, we have the camera here. And because we can't transmit the video right from the camera online, I basically took a cell phone video of the video as Dave Sharp pressed the button to show it in our camera. So we'll have better video on Fox 2, but last I looked, it was getting retweeted just a ton of times and had like 5,000 views already, and somebody with 191,000 followers just retweeted it. So I do think in the hockey community, as you know, this is a big deal, and even though it's just a little fight at practice, but I think it's going to get a lot of play, actually.
All right, here's my question. How do you think – it's two-part, a lot of two-parters today. It's a big two-part Monday. I did that to Frank earlier. And this is for all of us. How do you think it will be – assessed in the room? We'll say, hey, it just happens every once in a while, like no big deal, which is, I think that's what will happen. Hey, guys get mad, it happens. But will fans say, what will the fans say? All right, that's what I wanted to see, some fight from this team. Or will it just be more sarcasm? Oh, great, now they're beating each other up. Why don't they beat up the other team? I feel like that's going to be the common response.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of both of that on Twitter. And don't you think these type of things happen a lot during teams? I mean, it might happen on a flight or at a practice where nobody's watching, or in the clubhouse or in the dressing room. I'm not just talking about hockey, but all sports. I think you see little skirmishes like this happen all the time. We don't always get to see it on video. Maybe you hear a report it happened, I don't know, on the team plane or in the dressing room in the clubhouse. I really don't think this is that big of a deal, but it is kind of rare where you see two teammates actually fight on the ice at practice. But then again, go back to the Rams days. How many times during hot training camps in July do you see players fighting out there in Earth City? You see it all the time at NFL training camps.
We gave the guys nunchucks today, just spice it up a little bit. unless it's Gilbert Arenas, yeah, and he pulls a gun. These things are pretty mild in terms of the big picture. Final thought, when Jess wanted help with the mirror, could you have just paused the football game you're watching? Wouldn't that have alleviated all stress?
I probably could have done that, and I said, listen, for that moment, I was a bad husband. However, we got the mirror up. It looks great. But as everybody knows, look, week 13, week 14 here, you got fantasy football playoffs. It was the first week. I was really into it. But you know what? The mirror's up. It looks great, and it's all good. I just need Dalvin Cook not to score 14 points tonight, and I win. So I will be watching tonight and rooting against Dalvin Cook and the Vikings.
Chuck, let's just say late fourth quarter, Vikings are down like at the 2-yard line. Jess wants you to hang something else up. What are you doing? Dalvin Cook already has one touchdown. If he scores, you lose. What are you doing?
At this point, because I've already taken a lot of crap for it on the radio, I'm probably going to help her out.
And, there you go.
And try to be husband of the year. But hey, I have to go get the interviews here because
right.
The Blues are off the
good
ice.
Job,
but,
buddy.
Check
good
out the
job.
Video. We'll break down the fight and the reaction on Fox 2 later tonight.
There it is. There you have it. Chuck Marlow live from the rink. Bortuzzo, Sanford dropping the gloves. I do think the common reaction from Blues fans who are frustrated, disappointed, will say, oh, great, now you're fighting. When normally you see that, and you're like, oh, good, man, this team's got a little effort, a little fight. I think most years Blues fans be like, yeah, I love it. All right, it's hockey. They're fighting. I love it. I think the disdain, maybe that's too strong. But
no,
the
that's a good word.
That's okay.
I think that's a good word.
I mean, when you and like Jim Thomas's gamer, they call it in the paper, highlighted the fact that there are more empty seats, there's more booze. I think just the real disgust with this particular squad.
There are more empty seats in a now smaller arena than last year, which is kind of alarming.
Yes. Correct. No, it's bad right now. So you would think that a little brawl at a practice, no big deal, but fans typically love that kind of thing, hockey fans especially. But I think because they're so down on this team. Now, you always hold out a chance that they can turn it around. Nobody's holding out that hope.
And what would turn it around be for the Blues?
Well, I think the only turnaround that would matter would be to make the playoffs. Nobody cares. Well, they played, you know, those last 40 games, they really finished. I mean, you still have, what, 50-odd games, 54 games to go. So there is a long way to go. I agree with Craig Berube. It is not the beginning of it. It's not early in the season. But you have 54 games to go.
I think 56 games to go.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, they played 28.
Oh, you're right. 54.
Not to be that guy.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I was being that
column.
Guy.
It's okay.
Chuck will be on TMA duty tomorrow and Wednesday, as well as mentioned Thursday. The whole gang, 10 to 1, is going to be out at Schnucks, Graboid Bluffs. Then Friday, the 1-2-3 Club, Bob Costas being honored at that event. I believe we'll be at Norwood Hills on Friday for that program. 855-282-8255. What did you do on Sunday? How did you spend your Sunday? Because we're going to be judge and jury. Were you lazier than the Blues in their effort? I did think at the beginning of the game, there's a goal that goes in, and it's off the back, hits the glass, ricochets off Jake Allen's back while he's sitting in net. It's, you know, they could try 1,000 times again to replicate that, and a player might be able to do it once or twice. Chris Kerber on the radio said, Joey Vitale said, I don't know if I've ever seen that. And Kerber said, I remember one time it happened to Patrick Laleem, the glorious era when Patrick Laleem, God bless Kerb for remembering that. But it's bad luck. It happens. And I thought about doing a commentary that this franchise just always has bad luck. But then they gave up 6 goals, and I thought, you can't really do that. This is not about the franchise. This is not about bad luck. It's just about bad hockey.
At what point did bad luck become bad hockey? 4-0?
I think 3-0 after the first period. Jake Allen got pulled. He gave up those 3 goals on 6 shots. I think the bad hockey was pretty much cemented.
And what determines a rebuild? I get confused about, well, the Blues can't rebuild. Would it mean trading 2 or 3 superstars? Like, what's your definition, Martin, of if the Blues decided to, quote, rebuild? What would your, like, how far would it need to go before you started saying this is a rebuild mode? Because you can get rid of assets for different assets in return and still not being a complete rebuild. You're just revamping the team. I wasn't for sure how far the Blues would go and if you would consider trading a Tarasenko for a superstar, maybe a lesser superstar and a draft pick. Is that a rebuild? Or are you just trying to get a new core? I'm not.
Right. And the problem is a number of these guys have the no move. Excuse me. They don't say
Tarasenko
no.
Will next year. I still think he's able this year to
so
be moved.
I would, to answer your question, I think a rebuild would qualify if Tarasenko is traded for some younger prospects.
Okay.
Like guys that are down the pike that are going to be good, and you say, listen, we're not doing it with this group. Tarasenko's still got a lot of value. He could win a cup with somebody else.
So it's not about who you trade. It's what you're getting in return.
Correct.
Value.
Okay. I think it would be a sign that says, you know what, we got to load up on some forwards. They may not help us for a couple of years, but that's the direction we're going in now by doing this. That, to me, would be a rebuild. But I think they're stuck because they do have a loyal fan base. And if you trade Tarasenko, this legitimate goal scorer, that's telling your fans, all right, we're giving up. And we're still got Steen and Schwartz over here who you're frustrated
but
like hell
what
with.
If you get a number one defenseman? Because the whole weak link all year has been, well, consistent goaltending. And then your defense, if you get a name brand guy who can fill in right as your number one defenseman, that to me is a good trade just by the business sense of it. It's not telling you the fans what we're giving up. It's just we have a lot of young offensive pieces. We have Shen. We have Ryan O'Reilly. We have Thomas and Kyrou coming up. What we don't have outside of Edmondson and Vince Dunn are these key defensive players. And you never know how those two are going to pan out. And so yeah, if you're trading Tarasenko for 2 prospects and a first-round pick, of course.
I'm not recommending that, but I said that would qualify.
Yeah.
I think what the challenge is then, if you're Doug Armstrong, is to make a deal like that and say, listen, we're still trying to win now, but we're changing our group.
And Frank, the challenge is you got a ton of people on IR.
Yeah, Frank said something kind of depressing. I'm not sure he meant it this way. During the monologue, where he said it's not a bad roster, it's just a bad collection of players. I think that's worse. I think we've seen bad rosters on the Blues before, and that's just, okay, well, they suck, but they were supposed to, and now they're at least trying to build from within. What do you do with a bad collection of players?
I think it's time for, how do you remedy that? It's time for Army to drop the Mozeliak quote and say, it's not the person we thought we were getting.
It's not the plural, it's people. It's not the player.
These are not the human beings we thought we were adding to our roster. But it is a lot of additions, and you brought in this, and Pat Maroon is going to bring toughness, and he's a local guy, and Bozak's an underrated center, and Chad Johnson's a quality back. You brought in all these pieces, but all of a sudden you just have this room where it's kind of like you just had this dump truck, and you just dumped everybody in the same room and said, here you go, which would be fine if there was the established core. Like in Houston, for years we talked about the Astros and those guys, Bijou and Bagwell, and you could add anybody. Because you kind of had this great room. I think if Backes were still here, it would be a different team. He wouldn't be productive. He'd be overpaid. You'd be saying, oh, my God, we're paying this guy, and he doesn't really produce. I would just say, you don't even have to play half the time. Just run the room. It seems obvious that this group, more so in hockey, and most of us can't understand it. We didn't play in the NHL. But they tell you this when you hear from them, that something's wrong with the leadership or the group or just – we're not playing with the commitment we need, the buy-in that Hitch talks about.
Effort. That's a word that's been used a lot in a bad context this year.
You don't hear him saying that much in baseball or other sports or football. It's mostly a hockey thing. Yeah. When they lose, it's always about, we didn't give 110%. We didn't, and that starts with the leadership group. And I know Frank and I are guilty of it all the time, nostalgia. Hey, bring back Hitch. I get it. Hey, let's get Q. Hey, we do get caught up in nostalgia. But from the moment Backes left, I said, oh, boy, I don't know. I mean, you locked up Steen, and he's an older player. And they said, well, he's got less miles than Backes, so he's going to give you more. You're going to get more out of him. And you probably have point-wise. But I think I would have locked up Backes and just said, he's the guy I want getting old here, running the room, and keeping, you know, the buy-in at a high level. It seems now, what are we back to? The famous Army quote. Independent contractors.
Yes.
Remember that quote?
Oh, God.
Aren't we? Isn't that what they have right now? It's just a bunch of guys on a team.
Man.
There isn't a team. There's just a bunch of guys on the team. And it is depressing.
I got to find that clip. That's a good one. That's a good callback, Martin.
Independent. Don't they feel like independent?
Yes,
and when
totally.
You start adding all these new pieces, say, oh, well, he's good. He's good. Okay. And you just dump them into the room. Thank God for Ryan O'Reilly. Otherwise, this team would be garbage. You know,
Ryan O'Reilly saying that? The team he used to play for is actually playing well, and he got traded to a team that's awful?
You are Ryan O'Reilly, Frank. Do you wish you were in Buffalo right now? 100%. Hollywood Casino Press Box. Frank doing a little bit of business, stepping out. We also have a Billiken win yesterday. Oregon State. I'm not convinced Oregon State is a tournament team, and I don't want to be a wet blanket. I know that's Hoff's job is to be the wet blanket. So I knew that Oregon State came in 6-1, and they looked to be a decent team. Maybe not great, but a decent team. So I went back to look at the Pac-12 preseason poll. And Oregon State was picked to finish 10th, I believe.
You're better off not looking at Pac-12 basketball in general, because it's just kind of depressing.
Well, what's better, Pac-12 basketball or football? In terms of prestige?
Swimming.
Swimming.
They got good swimming, golf. Diving. Conference.
Better. I mean, when you think Pac-12, football, basketball, which one has more prestige? The UCLA history is there on basketball.
I think basketball's still
USC
there.
USC football history. What else do you hold up high?
I think Pac-12 basketball.
Basketball, okay.
More so
than football. So if you beat a team, I'm not knocking the Billiken win. I was just disappointed when I went and looked that up. Because I was like, all right, they beat Oregon State. I shouldn't have looked it up.
But I'm thinking about now Pac-12 basketball. I kind of can't continue my argument.
Good.
Yeah, Arizona, I guess. There's UCLA on those odd years.
UCLA's history. Arizona's always good at basketball.
But you think of Utah, Washington State, Washington. Yeah.
Colorado.
Colorado's a great example.
Colorado basketball. I mean, you got Jay Humphries.
Oh, those Buffs.
Yes. But then I started reading about the players. There's a Stephen Douglas Jr. on the team. Stephen Thompson Jr. was one of the better players for Oregon State. So I'm looking on, his dad played, his dad is on the staff, former player, Stephen Thompson Sr.
Stephen Douglas a politician?
hold on. There's a great Syracuse player. Frank's probably yelling at the radio. I'm getting mixed up.
Okay.
But Stephen Johnson Jr. plays for Oregon State. His dad is on the coaching staff.
Stephen Douglas lost to Lincoln. That's what it was.
Well, no, Stephen Douglas is the famous Lincoln, correct?
Yes.
We could really get down a rabbit hole
here.
We're
going to do that now.
But the kid's dad is the coach. This is the point. And in his little bio for Oregon State, it says, start at such and such high school. Why did you pick the Beavers? And he said, they have a great coaching staff. That was his quote, and his dad is on the staff.
My dad lets me play.
Isn't that a great quote? They have a great coaching staff. And then you look, oh, his dad is actually an assistant coach on the staff. But the Billikens beat Oregon State. It is the Pac-12. That's a resume win. You beat Butler. I'm not sure Butler's great, but they're from the Big East. Again, building your resume. It's amazing, though, that you have a team picked to win the Atlantic 10, and now that we're getting into the season, we're sort of seeing, like, they're gonna have to grind it out. And Travis Ford has said, well, there's a lot of things we don't do real well.
Mm-mm.
They're picked to win the Atlantic 10, so it may just be ugly every game.
These aren't the players we thought we recruited.
No, they have good – and I, you know what's funny? He kind of winced in our sit-down when I said, you have a really talented roster. And he kind of shrugged, like, yeah, I mean, but, like, don't overstate it. I'm like, well, you were picked to win the Atlantic 10. I think what's true is they have a lot of holes in their game. They can't shoot jump shots or free throws.
No. Threes aren't
And that scares
great.
The hell out of me. If you do get to the NCAA tournament, you're probably going to have to make some free throws.
But if I'm them, I'm dumping it down. I'm going to have Cartier Gordon learn on the fly. I'm giving him touch after touch. That dude's a beast.
And I think that's what they're doing. To their credit, now he couldn't get the ball to drop yesterday.
But you keep feeding him.
And they did. And they just kept. And he said that. He said, I got no problem right now with Gordon because you know what? We tell him. If you got a foot in the paint, attack. If you have 2 feet, now we just say, if you get it anywhere near the block, attack.
Especially
and that's what he's doing.
Especially in college basketball, anytime you get it down low, they're mostly going to call a hack or a blocking foul. If you improve your free throw shooting, Cartier Gordon going to be the one that carries them through conference play, and I think you give him as many touches as humanly possible.
And because they don't blow people out, they started to blow Oregon State out, and then they let them back into the game.
Need the free throw.
It's more entertaining.
Yeah.
It is more entertaining. Those games are going down to the wire. Chaffetz is fun. And because you can get close down, and even if you're at the last row, it's still a good seat. You can kind of hear things going on the court. Travis works the officials the whole game. And one of the three guys, I guess his name was Kip, he's way at the other end of the court. And Travis is just screaming, Kip! Kip! And finally, I saw it. The referee turned around and goes, what? Like your kids yelling at you. You finally just get mad.
Dad.
What?
Dad.
It was hilarious. And I told Travis after the game, I go, I love that. He turned and screamed, what? He goes, well, you know, he missed a couple traveling calls in a row. I'm like, I didn't notice, but I'm sure he did. But the moment when the ref just turned around and just screamed, what? It's like anybody who's been nagging you, that is your immediate reaction. All right, Midday Grind, the coveted hour, coming up next. Hollywood Casino Press Box. Minus Frank for the last few minutes here. A lot to get to, including what did you do? We haven't read any of those. That's the Midday Grind tradition. Ask for text and don't read it. We're going to determine whether you were lazier than the Blues or gave less effort than the Blues or whether you were lazier than Chuck Marlowe, which is a different category.
Oh, is anyone lazier than Chuck Marlowe?
I don't know. Chuck's right. Chuck is, and he admittedly, we may need to get Jess on the show this week to talk about just how lazy Chuck is. Probably wearing sweatpants.
I won't blame him for that, though. I do that all the time around the house.
Well, I know, but Chuck, I see him in sweatpants a lot. Sometimes I'm coming to this TV station. Dude, I'm changing later. I'm like, yeah, but the optics on that, like walking into the place of business, other than radio, it's a bad look.
You're wearing sweats now, sir.
Well, these are kind of track pants as opposed to sweat. Would you call these sweats, Plowsy?
Those are sweats.
I would call those windbreaker pants, and those
are sweats.
Those are the Swiss Army knife because you can say you were working out in them. Not many people can get away with. I was working out in my sweatpants with the elastic on the ankles.
To sweats.
I would say these are my coaching pants, but I don't coach. So then that doesn't really qualify. All right, Midday Grind coming your way next here on 590 The Fan.